As the film neared completion, Schneider was overseeing the final dubbing and the scoring of the music. Mankin showed up for the sessions, but Ashman stayed in New York. "Where's Howard?" Schneider asked. Mankin said Ashman didn't want to travel. Both Schneider and Katzenberg thought it was odd given Ashman's pivotal role in making the film, but didn't give it much thought. Toward the end of the process, Disney scheduled an unusual preview screening at night. The mostly adult audience seemed enchanted and broke into applause at the end. Katzenberg was elated and immediately changed the marketing plan. Initially worried that the film would appeal mostly to young girls, the campaign was broadened to target parents as well. Little Mermaid opened in November 1989. The heroine of Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Mermaid, failed in her bid to become human and became a disembodied spirit relegated to spending centuries in limbo, wrote Janet Maslin in the New York Times. The Little Mermaid, a glorious Walt Disney version of this tale and the best animated Disney film in at least 30 years, is due for immortality of a happier kind. The Little Mermaid is a marvel of skillful animation, witty songwriting, and smart planning. It is designed to delight filmgoers of every conceivable stripe. Little Mermaid grossed an astounding $110 million at the box office in the United States, $222 million worldwide. As box office revenues from Mermaid poured in, Katzenberg pressed to boost production of animated films. Eisner and Wells, who had initially considered abandoning animation altogether and had then banished it to Glendale, took little persuading. Disney animators had traditionally worked on a civilized, if not leisurely, schedule that generated a new film every 4 years. With Katzenberg's encouragement, Eisner insisted he now wanted one every 12 to 18 months. At meetings with the animators, Katzenberg mixed praise with exhortations for more. "Bigger, better, faster, cheaper," became his mantra, often mockingly parodied by animators who resented the increasing demands and long hours. Many of them took their complaints to Roy, who had emerged as the champion of the division's traditional methods and values. Schneider and some of the other animators used code names to discuss the top Disney executives. Roy was the Godfather, or the Shepherd. Eisner was Dad, and Katzenberg was Mom. Despite his position as head of the division and vice chairman of the company, Roy continued to defer to Katzenberg, and his attendance at the weekly meetings where Katzenberg made most of the important decisions became sporadic. When he did attend, he said little, as was his wont, especially with someone as decisive and opinionated as Katzenberg. Still, he played an active, if quiet, role in the division. Roy conveyed most of his suggestions through Schneider and talked directly with many of the animators. He saw rough cuts of all the animated films and made detailed notes. Roy worried that radically stepping up production would inevitably erode the quality of the animated films. Eisner disagreed. Ever since director James L. Brooks had grudgingly conceded that budgets and tight schedules had made Terms of Endearment a better picture, Eisner was convinced that such pressures and the resulting discipline improved quality. It fell to Schneider to mediate between Eisner and Katzenberg on the one hand, and Roy and the animators on the other. He tried to steer a middle ground. If cheaper means not